This is a Chazara Shir for the Daily Mishnah Berurah group, beginning with Or Chaim Simen Vav Seif Dalet. It should be as a refuah shlema for Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batya. Yesh Nagim Shachar Shaberich Echad Birkat Hashachar Venuchar Venu Acharav. Amen. Chazar Echad Me'onim. Amen. Mevarach Onim Acharav. Amen. V'chazer Hazeh Osin Kol Otan Sha'anu Amen Tchila. Some have the minhag that one person makes Birkat Hashachar, everybody answers Amen, and then they take turns that each person makes the brachos and each person answers Amen to those brachos. Ve'en la'arer aleihem ve'lomar shekvar yatzu be'amen sh'anu tchila mipnei sh'amevarach There's a concern that perhaps the latter brachos are going to be brachos levatala after the first person made the brachos and everybody answered amen, that they were yotzei the bracha already, and therefore they have no right to make the bracha on their own. It should be a bracha levatala. Shulchan Aruch already points out that it's not a bracha levatala because the person making the bracha has no intention to be motzi those who are listening in Yehovah, and those who are listening do not have an intention to fulfill the mitzvah through the one making the bracha because they all intend to do this. Mishnah Berurah points out that the whole idea is to try to have 90 amens each and every day. There are those who have pikpukim on this, whether this works or does not. Different places, Mishnah Berurah points out, have different practices, and each place should follow their own minhag. Seif Zayin, Dilem Rach Birchas Asher Yotzer Kol Yom Achar Talas Mai. So Seif Aleph Kol Yom Shosat Tzrachav Ben Ktan Ben Gedolim Mevarach Asher Yotzer Velo Al Natilas Yadayim. Afim Rotz Lil Mot Oli Yispal Miad. And the Ramah Edzan Haga Hayud Dav Miluch Lachos Shishiv Shefayim Afilu Hachin Mevarach Natilas Yadayim. The halacha is that a person, after they use the restroom to relieve themselves, regardless of the purpose, they make the bracha of Asher Yotzar after they have finished, and not the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim, even if they're going to daven or to learn afterwards. You don't make a bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim, just a bracha of Asher Yotzar. And the Ramah points out, even if your hands are dirty, nonetheless, that you make only the bracha of Asher Yotzar. Mishnah Berurah points out that there, even if it's not immediate after one comes out of the restroom, nonetheless, if there's a long time in between, you still make the bracha of Asher Yotzar. Modern poskim Rav Avadya particularly writes that you have 72 minutes, the same time after eating, as long as you remember within that time, you make the bracha of Asher Yotzer. Shari Tshuva points out, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that if you only remember to make the bracha of Asher Yotzer once you remember, you realize you have to go to the bathroom a second time, once you feel like you have to go a second time, then it's inappropriate to make that bracha. It seems like the Mishnah Berurah concludes like that as well. He then points out that what if a person has to make a bracha achrona on food and an Asher Yotzer, which one should he make first? So he says Asher Yotzer should go first because it is tadir, it happens more frequently. The question, what if a person is taking something that is causing them to go to the restroom frequently? They have to relieve themselves with some frequent basis. We assume that you make a bracha of Asher Yotzer each and every single time that a person comes out, regardless of the frequency, unless that after they've come out the first time, they feel like they have to go again. It goes back to the same point that once a person realizes, feels the need to go a second time, they don't make a bracha of Asher Yotzer at that time. Mishnah Berurah also points out that one person shouldn't think that they don't have to wash hands for Mincha Ma'ariv. If water is available, they should wash hands for Mincha Ma'ariv. We'll see that a little bit later. But nonetheless, it doesn't get a bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim only in the morning. Sif Beis Hitel Mayim Velo Shif Shef Af Misha Tzarech Levarach Asher Yotzer En Levarach Litol En Tzarech Litol Yadav Ela Mishum Nekiyos Mishum Hikon. After a person relieves themselves, as long as their hands are clean, they don't have to wash their hands, they just have to clean them or to prepare for, just to be clean, or Mishum Hikon is preparing for a tefillah. And he points out, Mishnah Berurah, that these are two independent things. Washing one's hands and saying Asher Yotzer are not related. Even if one does not have anything to clean their hands with, they still make a bracha of Asher Yotzer. Gimel. Hedel mayim v'sich da'at omil ha'tel mayim v'acharkach nimloch v'tel mayim pam acheret tzarech levarach beis pamim Asher Yotzer. This is what we pointed out before, that if a person goes to the restroom, so he points out, if he goes to the restroom, and then he comes out, forgets his Asher Yotzer, and then goes again, and the restroom, and comes out, he should say Asher Yotzer twice. Mishnah Berurah points out it should be like tefillah, that if the person forgets shachar, so he says mincha twice. Person gets mincha, they say mariv twice because it's tashlum and it can make up for the missed opportunity. Mishnah Berurah points out that many achron disagree because tefillah is instead of a korban, the korban has tashlumin. Asher Yotzer doesn't necessarily have tashlumin, that the Asher Yotzer is supposed to be a berachas hahodah of Thanksgiving, and therefore one berachas hahodah should function for multiple instances, and he says therefore it seems like it's an inappropriate thing to do. He says therefore we should try to make sure we recite the bracha of Asher Yotzer each and every single time that we come out of the restroom, although it seems that his conclusion is that if a person only remembers once after having gone to the bathroom twice, they make one Asher Yotzer for both instances. Gimel, Dalet. Ein shir lahashtin mayim ki afilu l'tipa achas chayv levarach shem yisatam anekam l'hotzi atipa ahi hayakashe lo v'chayev lehodos. Doesn't matter the quantity of that a person relieves himself, the urination, that regardless of quantity, they make the bracha of asher yatzar on each and every instance of going to the bathroom. Simen ches hilchas titzis v'atifaso. Aleph yisatam v'titzis v'yivarach me'umad. Person should put on the talus and make the bracha standing. The Mishnah Berurah points out that the mitzvah itself should be done, putting on the talus should be done standing. Of course, we learn from Lachem, Gzeira Shava, from Lachem, Ektira Sa'omer, that the mitzvah should be done standing, and the bracha should be done standing, because all birkas ha-mitzvah, when they can be done, should be done standing as well. He points out this is only Lachatchila, but if a person made the bracha sitting, or he put on the talus sitting, he has certainly fulfilled the mitzvah. He points out that the bracha should be said before, but how much before? It should be over la'asiyas, and right before you do the mitzvah, and not over, not too far removed. And therefore, the bracha should be recited when the person is holding the talus up in front of them, and not while the talus is still in the talus bag. The way a talus should be worn is like a normal garment that clearly was worn at some point. It's not normal for us anymore. He says that sometimes where the head is covered, sometimes when the head is not covered, but he adds on, it's appropriate to have a person should cover their head with a talus. So the Mishnah points out that it helps a person increase their kavana when they can't see things to the side. Mishnah points out that the bracha we make is lehis atef, is to wrap ourselves. And therefore, seemingly, it should require always to have the head be covered. He says, no, that covering the body itself is considered kisui haguf, is also considered a form of ituf, and therefore, even if a person doesn't cover their head with the talus, they have for a part of the tefillah, then nonetheless, it's considered ituf, he points out. Therefore, if a person just wraps the talus around their neck like a scarf, they are not yotzei the mitzvah, because there is no chov, they don't fulfill anything by that, because there is no kisui haguf, the body is not covered, there is no anything called ituf at all. Mishnah points out that the Arizal used to cover his tefillin shel rosh with a talus. He points out the Magen Avraham says that no, it can't be completely covered because the Shulchan Aruch says it's tov that it should be migule, and he therefore points out it should be somewhat visible. There are some machlokas haposkim now, the mekubalim tend to cover completely the tefillin shel rosh, and those who follow Shulchan Aruch leave it somewhat visible. Our talus katan that we wear on our bodies normally throughout the rest of the day, even though there is no ituf, meaning it's not large enough to wrap ourselves in them, nonetheless we fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis through them. Mishnah Berurah points out that the reason is that because nowadays any garment that we wear is derech kisui, is for covering. The term ituf isn't mentioned in the Torah anywhere. It just means ater sher techaseba bilim tasel chalar barkvos kesuscha asher techaseba, that it's talking about any garment that one covers himself with. And he said the Mishnah Berurah points out that all garments nowadays are considered derech kisui, covering ourselves with, and therefore a talus katan is also considered derech kisui, and therefore you can fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis with them, with a talus katan, even though there is no ituf. But the bracha nonetheless is going to remain as al-hesatef betzitzis, even when ituf is not the primary mode of wearing that garment. He says, therefore, the Shulchan Aruch adds on, he says even the talus katan is appropriate to do ituf with a talus katan, meaning before we put the talus katan over our heads and have half in front and half in back, he says it's appropriate to turn it 90 degrees and to do ituf with our talus katan as if we are putting on a talus gadol. So at least Mishnah Berurah points out we'll get the ituf in on some level. Now he says, the Mishnah Berurah adds on, that the hanogen shelo levarach al talus katan, those who have the practice not to make a bracha at all on talus katan because they're going to make a bracha on talus gadol, so therefore they do not have to do this ituf. General Sephardic practice is not to make a bracha at all on the talus katan, because all Sephardim over the age of Bar Mitzvah, everyone wears a talus gadol. Even below the age of Bar Mitzvah, they wear a talus gadol, and therefore they always make a bracha on the talus gadol, and therefore the bracha on talus katan isn't made. And he says, therefore, this is not necessary to do ituf with a talus katan first. After a person has wrapped themselves with the talus appropriately over their heads and over their around their body, they should put the two tzitzis in front, two tzitzis in back, so he should be surrounded by mitzvos. Mishnah Berurah points out, and some have the practice to put an atara on the talus, so we should always know which tzitzis is going front and which tzitzis is going back. All he points out, the Arizal was not makpid about this. Siv Hey. Mevarach lehisatef betzitzis. The bracha is lehitatef betzitzis. The Mishnah Berurah points out with a shva, although some have the practice of saying batzitzis with a patach, but the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah is betzitzis with a shva. In Shnaimos, continuing in Shulchan Aruch, in Shnaimos also misatfim betalis keachas, kula mevarachim. When multiple people are putting on talisim, each person makes their own bracha. V'imratzu echad mevarach v'achem yanu amen. Alternatively, if they want, one person can make the bracha and everyone can answer amen. In this case, the person making the bracha would have to have in mind that those who are listening fulfill the mitzvah through the listening, and those who are listening have in mind that they're fulfilling the mitzvah through the person making the bracha. The Mishnah Berurah points out that Shulchan Aruch seems to think that it's preferable that each one should make his own bracha, but he seems to say no, it should be the opposite. When one person makes a bracha, multiple people fulfill the mitzvah through his bracha. That's considered Berov Am Hadras Melech, that when the mitzvah is done in multitudes with multiple people fulfilling the mitzvah at the same time, that is considered Hadras Melech, considered to be something that is more glorified for the king, he says. But the practice is Lo Nahagu Achshav Kein, that's not the practice to do it nowadays. And Mishnah Berurah points out that although there's always a mitzvah to say amen to every bracha, when you are trying to fulfill a mitzvah through someone else's bracha, then there's even more of a chiyuv to say amen. However, nonetheless, you can fulfill the mitzvah even without actually reciting amen, as long as you had in mind to fulfill the mitzvah through that bracha, and the person making the bracha had in mind that you should fulfill the mitzvah with him. So on Talas Katan, you're able to make the bracha of Lehisatef, even though you're not being Misatef in the end of the day, even if you're following Shulchan Aruch that you're being Misatef at the beginning. Practically, the Talas Katan is not a Derech Yidov, nonetheless, you make the bracha of Lehisatef on it. The Ramah adds on, V'yeshom, Rishon Varchalav, Al Mitzvah, Sisis, V'chein Nogev, V'en Lashanos, that the Ashkenazi practice is to make the bracha of Al Mitzvah, Sisis, and that is certainly the practice, although he points out that if you're going to do the ituf as the Shulchan Aruch recommended, turning the talis katan 90 degrees and wrapping it over, putting it over one's head and then over the shoulders before putting it over one's head, you can make the bracha of lehisatef. He points out that a bracha on the talis katan shouldn't be made unless it fulfills the particular requirements of a shear of the size of a talis katan, which means to be 3/4 of an amah in front and 3/4 of an amah in back, aside from the hole for the neck, which does not count. He says, Chassidim and Anshei Maiseh, I won't do it unless there's an amma in front and an amma in back, which is much larger. And therefore, it's not always so convenient to wear such large tzitzis, and many people do not, and therefore maybe the bracha should not be recited on it. Zayin, tzarech lahafrit chutei atzitzis zemizeh, you have to separate the strings from each other. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal, tzitzis is rashi tevos, tzadik yafrit tzitzis yosef tamid, that a tzadik should carefully move his tzitzis. It's somewhat of a machlokas why this is done. The Magen Avraham points out it's zecher l'tchelis, when the tchelis and the lavan are separate mitzvos, and therefore the tchelis strings should be separated from the lavan strings. Therefore, practically speaking, if you don't have tchelis strings, so it's just a zecher l'davar, but if you do have tchelis strings, and according to the Magen Avraham, it would be meikar adin, although the Gra thinks it's meikar adin, even nowadays, it's really part of the din that the tzitzis need to be separated, and it's permissible to do even on Shabbos. When you wrap yourself in the tzitzis with a talis, you should have in mind that you are doing this to fulfill the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to remember that we are surrounded by him and his mitzvahs all the time. The Bach points out that this is one of the mitzvahs that where the Torah tells you, Laman Tizkiru, tells you should remember that Hashem takes out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, perhaps it's this kavana is necessary. Lola Mishnah Berurah points out that if you don't have this kavana, as long as you have the kavana of Latzes Yedei Chova, then you have fulfilled the mitzvah as well. Before you put on the talis, you should check the strings to see if they are kosher, because otherwise it could be a bracha levatala if the tzitzis aren't kosher. So you're putting on a beged, you're saying it's not that tzitzis on a beged that is not appropriate to have tzitzis on, and therefore it would be a bracha levatala. Now he points out that technically speaking, we should assume that nothing happened to the tzitzis since the last time you wore it. Last time you wore it was kosher. Why should you assume that nothing happened? Why should you assume something happened that made it not kosher? There should be a chazaka that the tzitzis are kosher. He says, yeah, you're right. That should probably be correct. However, because there's an issue of bracha levatala, which is taken so seriously here, we therefore do not rely on the chazaka. And we check our tzitzis. He also points out you have to check not just the strings to make sure there are 8 strings at the end. You have to also make sure by the hole where the tzitzis strings loop through, where it's 4 on one side and 4 on the other, that they are all intact. Because even a string breaking there would be a particular, even one string breaking there would be a particular problem, more so than others, and more so than other places. We'll see a little bit later. Mishnah Berurah then goes through, what if you're borrowing a talis? What if you're borrowing a shul talis? Particularly if you're not making a bracha on that talis. If you're borrowing somebody else's talis, you're not making a bracha on that talis. So then there's no issue of bracha levatala. He says, therefore, nonetheless, nachon lahayin ktsas ma'idev, so you should still check it if you can. However, there's no issue of bracha levatala here. However, he points out, you're right, what about the chazaka? He says, well, Tzitzis, you know, sometimes they get ripped. They're sometimes get close to the floor, they get caught between things. And I think people will attest to the fact that tzitzis sometimes do get ripped more so than other garments that we have, and therefore we should check whenever we can.
If you put on your talis katan before you didn't heal, so your hands are not clean, so you can't make the bracha. So you put it on without a bracha.
And when you finally wash your hands, you should then touch the tzitzis and make a bracha on them. By touching the tzitzis, is considered to be as if you're putting it on. Now there's some hisaskus in the mitzvah, some engagement in the mitzvah at that point, and therefore you can make the bracha at that point. Or when you're putting on another talis on top of it, let's say a talis gadol, at that point, if you didn't make the bracha at all, so you have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, the bracha of tzitzis on both garments at the same time, and therefore you don't have to touch the first tzitzis. The touching the tzitzis when you're making the bracha without a talis gadol on is to make it as if you're putting on something now. So if you're putting something on for real now, a second talis, a talis gadol, then you don't have to touch the first ones. Mishnah Berurah points out, "Vachi nagvis manin levrachal talis gadol lichal chavin lifter bazat talis gadol." He points out that the minhag is also not to make a bracha on the talis gadol, but to make a bracha on the talis gadol, and to have in mind that the bracha on the talis gadol should qualify for the talis gadol also, even though you put it on much earlier. This is also enough to mean what if a person forgets to make a bracha on a talis gadol before they already have it on. It's considered to be a mitzvah, mitzvah shachas, and therefore it's a mitzvah that continues, and therefore if you just touch the tzitzis, you can still make a bracha on that tzitzis even while you're wearing it. We see it from this line in the Shulchan Aruch. Yudalef, ikar mitzvahs talis katan love, so al bigadav, k'desha tamid yireo v'yiskar mitzvahs. It says the main purpose of a talis katan is to wear it on your clothing, so you always see it, and you can do and remember all the mitzvos. The first thing Mishnah points out is about ksavim, meaning based on Kabbalah, al pi de Arizal, the beged itself should certainly be worn under the clothing. The Magen Avraham there says, but nonetheless, the tzitzis strings themselves should be outside. Mishnah Berurah has strong words to say about those who keep their tzitzis in. He says, not only are they they're not fulfilling the mitzvah, it seems like they are mevaze the mitzvah of Hashem. They're taking the mitzvah of Hashem and putting it inside their pants. It's not an appropriate thing. And they will, in future, the osid litein et hadin al zeh, Hashem will judge them harshly for it. He goes on, continues. He says, if you had a gift from a king and you would walk around with it to show that you're proud of it, he says, this is a gift from a king. It shows the king's presence upon us, and we should be proud of showing them. And Chazal point out, Hazar b'mitzvah tzitzis zocha v'roa p'nei Hashchina, one who's careful about tzitzis merits to see and to greet the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are other posts who say, Alpi Kabbalah, not only the Arizal wear the beged inside, but Alpi Kabbalah wear the tzitzis themselves. The strings themselves also should remain inside. That's a general Sephardic practice, also based on Alpi Kabbalah. And there's a whole discussion in the posting. Mishnah Berurah also points out, what about those who olchim and anochrim? It's inconvenient. It looks a little embarrassing to have the strings pointing out. He says, well, at least they should be out a little bit. And some people have the practice, therefore they wrap the strings around the belt, put them in the pockets, so they're not dangling. Each person should consult their own posting for practical halacha. Yud Beis. Im yesh lo kama begadim shel arba kanfos, a person has multiple four-cornered garments, kulam chayavim betzitzis, each one is an independent chiyuv of tzitzis when they wear them. The Mishnah Berurah points out, while you're wearing them. We assume that tzitzis is chovas gavra, not chovas mana, meaning it's only a mitzvah when you're wearing those begadim. It's not a mitzvah to have every four-cornered garment in your drawer to have tzitzis on them. V'im lav sham kulam below hefsek, you put on multiple pairs of tzitzis at once, v'haya daitum, or multiple four-cornered garments at once, v'haya daitum mitchil al kulam, and you're intending to put them all on, you lo yavarach la bracha achas, you make one bracha on all of them. But if you're pausing in between putting on these multiple tzitzios, you've made a break in between, and therefore you have to make a bracha on each one. So the Shulchan Aruch points out, if you put on one right now, and then you made a bracha and you put it on, and then later you decided to put on another one, it got cold, and you put on another one, so you didn't have in mind to put on the second one when you wore the first one, therefore it requires a second bracha. He says, if you took off the first one before you put on the second one, so then you should certainly require a bracha as well. Mishnah Berurah points out that the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that shtika lo chashiva hafsaka, but he says that shtika is not considered hafsaka in this case, that just pausing, just being quiet, should not be considered a hefsek, just a pause, but actually doing something. This whole discussion, what about talking? It seems like the Shulchan Aruch would point out that talking is considered to be a hefsek, but the Mishnah Berurah points out, yesh min acharon sheposkim, that nonetheless, you do not make a bracha if it's just talking. He says, because of this machlokas, a person should try not to talk in between putting on these multiple garments.
Continuing on, the last if Gimel Halovish Talas Katan Varach Halav Kshalach Beisaknesim Sounds of a Talas Katan. The person puts on his Talas Katan at home, and then he walks to Shul, and then he puts on his Talas Katan at Shul. Sarach Levarach Halav. He has to make another bracha on his Talas Katan when he gets to Shul. The Halicha Mebeisal Beisaknesis Chashivah Hefsek, because he considered a break from the time that he walked, the walking from the house to the Shul is considered Hefsek and requires a new bracha. The Mishnah points out it's not exactly. He says no. Etzem Halicha is not Chashivah Hefsek. That's the walking that's considered to be a Hefsek, but the Shini Makom. Changing the location is considered to be a hefsek, and therefore if a person walks out and then walks back into the house, since they haven't walked very far at all, but nonetheless it was a shinei makom, they left the house and then they came back, they would also make a bracha. Mm-hmm. Points out v'misal b'tol beisa, but unless a person doesn't go to shul at all, he's davening at home. So im haya daito mitchila gamal talas gadol lo hefsek mintayim besicha b'dvar machirim eno tzarech lachzer levarech, and the person is davening at home, he had in mind to put on talas katan, he made a bracha on his talas katan with the appropriate size, of course, and then he had in mind to daven at home, and he didn't speak or do any other, and didn't speak in between the time that he made the bracha on the talis katan until he went to daven and to put on the talis katan. He does not need to make a separate bracha. The Mishnah points out that in the same home is not considered to be a shinei makom. Even if you go from room to room, person gets dressed in his bedroom and then goes to daven in another room, nonetheless that would count for one bracha, and a separate bracha should not be recited on the talis gadol. Ad kan.